Ukrainian citizens in Connecticut are monitoring the Russian military invasion unfolding in their country. Vladimir Gupan is from Ukraine and a PhD candidate at UConn. He says he's terrified of the Russian occupation of Chernobyl, where a nuclear power disaster in 1986 occurred while the country was still under Soviet rule.
The idea that they might damage the sarcophagus that covers Chernobyl is just unconscionable, because that's going to create ecological catastrophe in Ukraine, in Russia, in Belarus, in whole Europe.
Gupan says Russia and Ukraine's relationship has been rocky for the last 300 years. He says Russia's aggression toward Ukraine heightened when the country declared independence in 1991. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut-New York region. Connecticut lawmakers react to the situation in Ukraine. A new poll reveals New Yorkers are still split on mask mandates and how one community is celebrating Black History Month. That and more coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Members of Congress from Connecticut have condemned Russia's attack on Ukraine and warned constituents to brace for higher energy prices. WSHU's Ebang Udama reports.
Congressman Jim Hines is a member of the House Committee on Intelligence. He says the Russian invasion is a violation of international law. Hines supports U.S. and Western sanctions against President Vladimir Putin and Russia, even though such measures would cause pain here.
We're going to see that at the gas pump, and we're going to see that Russia actually does produce some of the world's wheat. So we will see some upward price pressure on the things that we buy every day. That will not feel good, but we are also not on the receiving end of Russian artillery.
Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro chairs the Appropriations Committee. She issued a statement calling the Russian attack unwarranted and malicious. She says members of her committee are monitoring the situation and are prepared to appropriate aid to Ukraine and other U.S. allies in Central and Eastern Europe as they confront this crisis. Ebang Udama, WSH News.
A Siena College poll finds that the majority of New Yorkers support Governor Hochul's decision to extend the mask mandate for school children until early March. But the poll also shows reaction to COVID-related restrictions are complicated. Karen DeWitt reports.
The poll finds that 58% of registered voters in New York back Governor Hochul's decision to wait until students return from their winter break next week before deciding whether to end the school mask mandate. Less than a third say the mandate should have already ended. Siena College poll spokesman Steve Greenberg says the result surprised him, partly because those who oppose masking are much more vocal about their beliefs.
You hear in your everyday life a whole lot more from the folks who want the masks off than the folks who want the masks on.
But Greenberg says when you look at just the opinions of parents who have children in kindergarten through high school, they are more closely divided. Just over half say either the mask mandate should already have ended or they want it lifted when schools reopen February 28th. Less than half say the mask should remain on for a week or so longer. Greenberg says the split is difficult for school administrators and school boards who are trying to navigate pandemic-related rules.
If you're a school official, you have about half of your constituency, the parents of your students, who say, get the masks off, and you have about half of your constituency who says, no, let's get some more data before we make a decision on masks. Good luck.
All New Yorkers remain closely divided on whether there should still be a mask mandate for indoor public gatherings, including restaurants, shops, and entertainment venues. The statewide mask mandate ended on February 10th, and 51% say it ended at the right time or it should have ended earlier. But 45% say they wish the indoor mask requirement was still in place. While Hochul and other state lawmakers maintain they are trying to do what's best for the health of New Yorkers during a difficult time, they are all up for election later this year, and politics can be a factor in trying to navigate policy for a pandemic-weary populace. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Coming up, Coming up, how one Connecticut community is celebrating Black History Month through music. That story after headlines and a message from After All Things supporter.
Support for After All Things comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
Brenda Lee Rawls died of natural causes in her Bridgeport home in December. That's according to Connecticut's Office of the Chief Medical Examiner on Tuesday. The announcement comes as her family continues to say that they were not contacted by Bridgeport police after her death. Similar complaints have been filed by the family of 23-year-old Lauren Smith Fields. Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim has also called for changes to how police interact with the community. Three federal marksmen are set to kill 180 deer at state parks in New York and other spots on Long Island to preserve habitats and prevent car accidents. The State Department of Environmental Conservation is permitted to kill up to 40 deer at Sunken Meadow and Nissaquag River State Parks and Caleb Smith Preserve in Smithtown. Wildlife advocates were at the preserve yesterday protesting the plan. Authorities donated 1,300 pounds of venison to local food banks following last year's culling. New Haven's pilot program to create a non-police emergency response team has been delayed again. Mayor Justin Elliker says the contractor that was hired to train and supervise mental health professionals to respond to certain 911 calls backed out due to a liability risk. The mayor says the program might start this fall or in 2023. The program was announced in August 2020 in response to the police murder of George Floyd and police misconduct protests. This Sunday, Sacred Heart University's Orchestra and Wind Ensemble will host a fundraising concert to benefit the St. John's Family Center in Bridgeport. As WSHU's Mike Lyle tells us, the event will celebrate famous Black composers as part of Black History Month.
Keith Johnston is the Director of Performing Arts at Sacred Heart University. He says the concert will feature works from well-known Black composers, such as Christopher DeCasse and Florence Price. Price is a native of Little Rock, Arkansas, who studied at the New England Conservatory of Music in Boston. She moved to Chicago in the early 1930s to fulfill her composition career and was part of the Chicago Black Renaissance. Johnston says including some of Price's work was necessary because of the sacrifices she made to be recognized as a symphonic composer.
We're doing her dances in the canebrakes. Canebrakes are a reed that grow in the deep south. And back whenever they had to clear the fields for planting cotton and whatnot, teams of slaves would spend their entire day clearing these canebrakes from the marshes and from the riverbanks so that they could then plant cotton in the fields. And what Florence Price did is she went through and she made some reasonable assumptions that at the end of the day, they would get together and create some music and dance as a way to celebrate and to end their day.
Price composed over 300 works in her musical career. They included four symphonies, four concertos, plus art songs and music for chamber and solo instruments. The orchestra will also sample work from Haitian native and composer Christopher DeCasse. DeCasse is a winner of the Wisconsin Choral Directors Association conducting competition in 2018. Johnston says his work is widely known across his homeland of Haiti and throughout the globe.
He wrote a piece called Lakai, and Lakai is Haitian Creole, which means home, and in this piece, he incorporates a lot of rhythmic elements and Haitian dance elements to make this very, very fun piece about what it's like to not be home and to miss home in all the ways that the word home means.
The concert will take place at 3 p.m. from the Shue Community Theater, located at 1420 Post Road in Fairfield. Tickets are $10 and can be purchased online at shuecommunitytheater.org. Mike Lyle, WSHU News.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. And if you like what you hear, you can help us out by becoming a member at WSHU.org. Thank you so much for listening and for sharing our podcast with your friends. I'm Sabrina Garone. We'll talk tomorrow.